This puts a whole new dimension on automobiles.
I own an automotive shop in here. I had a car tested with the emissions before I tried it, and I was, was putting out like over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and it's great to have Joel with us because, ladies and gentlemen, we are in probably the most significant and dangerous times that I can remember in the 44 years I've been trying to unravel what was going on in the world and the situation in the Near East, situation in the Mid East. All of these certainly denote very difficult times, not only for the people in those areas, but for the people here in this country. So with that as a background, you've heard me many times before. Let's hear Joel Skousen. Hi, Joel.
Hello,
Dr. Want to
Dr.
bring our listeners up to date.
Well, indeed, with your introduction, I can say that times have never been more difficult to do a proper analysis of what's happening. The American Christian community is being taken advantage of, in my opinion, in its support of Israel for, in terms of its biblical roots, which I share, by the way. I fully feel theologically that the Lord has promised that Israel will be restored to its ancient lands, even though there will not be peace. It will be the cauldron of a major conflict called Armageddon someday. But Christians, I think, especially their evangelical leaders, have mistakenly assumed, as have many Israelis, that their government's sudden show of force in attacking Hezbollah is meant to further that agenda. It has no such thing. The leaders of Israel are globalists. They are not pro-Israel. And this off-again, on-again attacking of terrorism, I mean, they permit it, they facilitate it, they play soft with it, and then they come back and play hard. And every time they play hard, all of the Israeli right and all of the American evangelicals suddenly get on the bandwagon and think Israel's found its roots again and Israel's doing God's will in this. These are the same people. These are the same sellout artists as George Bush exemplifies. And every time he does the right thing, the Christians get right back on board and they fail to remember. This man betrays them most of the time and is a globalist. He's a socialist yes man. He's actually just a script reader. But Israel's leaders are no script readers. These people are very, very savvy. They're very, very understanding of what double hypocrisy they're playing with their own people. And I'm just sounding a warning for good Christian people that this government in Israel is not doing their will. They are pushing Israel in line with the United States towards a greater war with Islam. And this is for globalist purposes. This is for undermining their national sovereignty. This is to require eventually that international peacekeepers take over Israeli sovereignty. And that's the agenda of conflict management. And it is not about securing Israel's borders. As I stated last week in the World Affairs Brief, even as President Ehud Olmert visited the refugee camps of Israelis sitting out there on the beaches south of Haifa, he talked about, no matter what's happened with this Hezbollah attack, I'm still going to continue the unilateral withdrawing from all the Arab-occupied territories, which is more a recipe for disaster. If you're looking at it from the sake of the biblical perspective, this man is not following the biblical perspective of trying to hold on to the ancient biblical lands and deal justly with the Arab landowners that are there.
And you know, that's what's so amazing, Joel, is most people cannot think about two or three things at the same time. After all, we're concerned about the war, concerned the way it's going, and the fact that Olmert is betraying the Jewish people by pulling back out of the settlement areas, they can't correlate the two, so they just sort of ignore it. And
yep,
they use this pattern of mind games all the time, realizing, of course, we can't think in two different spheres you know, two different dimensions at the same
time.
Well,
it isn't that they can't think of two different dimensions. I believe that the soft mentality that possesses most Christians, and they buy into what I call even soft Christianity, the fact of, well, the rapture will get us out of the tribulations, or unconditional love, which is tremendously at opposition with the scriptural enjoinments of the Savior about, you know, the Lord loveth those who follow his commandments and who do the right thing, and they fall into these soft thinking traps. And that's the problem. It isn't they cannot conceive of contradictions. Contradictions are painful to work out because they get in the way of the soft, comfortable, easy conclusions. And they put conundrums, very powerful contradictions and conundrums before the mind, and that takes mental effort to resolve. How do you resolve the fact that President Bush absolutely most of the time goes against his stated beliefs, and yet at some times he comes and champions what appears to be something very much in line with our beliefs. And then if you look behind the scene, you find that he isn't championing it at all. He's just giving lip service. It's something that he knows is going to get rejected by the Congress or the Supreme Court, and so his advisors have slipped him this one and saying, yeah, you can promote this one. This will help our cause with the Christians, knowing that, in fact, it's not ever going to happen. You know, that's the ultimate hypocrisy. To knowingly go before and present things to placate an audience that you, in fact, are lying to. And that's what my analysis and all my trips to Israel have proven, that this government simply lies when they talk about defending Israel interests. They are defending globalist interests, which are to foment sufficient war that eventually, and to reduce Israel's military strength and wear it out in continual warfare, and that's, believe me, that's what they're doing now, until it requires a UN presence to secure their future.
But aren't they in some ways doing that with the United States? In other words, exhausting our military capacity and really bankrupting our nation with these wars.
Well, that's, of course, our own government doing
right.
That. I mean, I don't blame that on Israel.
No, good.
You know, a lot of people do because of the presence of significant high-powered Jewish individuals within the New World Order claim that this is a Zionist conspiracy. In fact, it is not. Well, there are two forms of Zionists. There are legitimate Zionists who do believe in the God-given destiny of Israel, but they're in the small minority. Most of what we call the Zionists are actually originally in the formation of the State of Israel were Marxists, communists, who... in essence, had a collectivist mentality. I mean, Histadrut, the big labor union that controls most things in Israel, is fully a Marxist labor union and has, I mean, there's been less freedom in Israel during most of the life of that state to start a business than there even was in Russia. The Russian immigrants are just incensed when they come into Israel. Instead of finding freedom, they find more control and regulations than they found in Russia.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skous talking about what's really going on, at least, and in the Near East today.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
This is Michael Golden, and I'm pleased to announce the release of my new CD, Mikamot HaKodeshi, Holy Places. Holy Places is a collection of some of my favorite praise and worship songs. It's available now at the American Freedom Network for only $15 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 to order your copy of Holy Places. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
And here at the American Freedom Network, our guest, Joel Skousen. So, Joel, pick the story up.
Well, today's news, of course, brought a confirmation of what I'd reported last night to your other audience, that Lebanon has formally rejected the U.S. proposal of ceasefire before it was even voted on by the Security Council. The Arab League has even come out in the first time, fully unified, against it. And they are sending a delegation to the United Nations because they felt that the U.S. huddling with France and Israel banged out this resolution, and it's entirely pro-Israel. It does not require that Israel withdraw any troops. It only requires that they stop offensive operations without defining what the difference is between defensive and offensive, because Israel, of course, claims that everything they're doing is defensive, even though they clearly are attacking Lebanese civilians and infrastructure. But there's a host of things that indicate in this ceasefire resolution that this is simply a trap that is being designed to further inflame the Arab world, and it's certainly doing that. The Arab world has never been more united against the United States and against Israel than this, which could normally have been. In other words, let me say that Israel has always maintained a reputation of careful, dramatic and strong, yes, to be sure, but retaliation against terrorism, but very limited in the sense that they never went beyond that, which was important to eliminate the actual perpetrators. They've been very careful, have a reputation of their soldiers going in house-to-house fighting, of hardly ever killing civilians directly. It's only when air power gets involved, because I don't care how precision your weapons are, when you put down a weapon that's capable of taking out a whole city block, you take out the whole city block, and that's not precision, you know, targeting. That obviously takes out a lot of civilians, which is what we're seeing in Lebanon. But and then we see purposeful targeting of things that have virtually no military significance whatsoever. The Israelis are clearly making Lebanon pay a price for not having the power or the will, or a combination of the two, of getting rid of Hezbollah. And frankly, they can't. Hezbollah is much stronger than the Israeli or the Lebanese military. And there's been political infighting, of course, for years there that has not allowed the Lebanese government to represent a strong independent force, such as they did when the Christian Maronites were in charge. So it's a very, very complex situation, and but as I say, Israel, the hatred of Israel now is so high among the Arab nations because of the clear and provocative killing of civilian life in Lebanon that is exceeding 1,000 people now, that Israel has joined the ranks of the great Satan in the U.S. They have done more damage to their heretofore good image among the moderates and among their supporters than ever before. And I think it can only be explained by having joined with the United States in this policy of purposely antagonizing the Arab world in the name of defending democracy and defending their homeland, but clearly provoking a larger war because they want to go for Syria and Iran, and that's where I think this thing is heading.
And Samuel Huntington's prophetic clash of civilizations is upon us, and the average American has little idea what's going on.
Well, you know, I take great umbrage at the concept that this is a clash of civilizations. To me, this is not a clash of civilizations at all. There isn't, even though Islam has in its fundamental things some very contradictory statements between peace and between jihadic symbols, I think in principle the Arabs have shown that ever since the Ottoman Empire wound down, and of course that's not even talking about the glory years of this Eastern religion, even further back, but there never have been had the ability to rise again except without the help and the instigation of large, well-armed patron states. Whether it's World War One or World War Two, the Arabs were always used as cannon fodder for the British or the French or the and now the Russians and the Chinese. They simply are incapable of mustering this kind of ferocity unless they're taught to do so. And they certainly were. I mean, I saw a documentary about their first hostage taking in the Entebbe Desert when they hijacked three American or British European planes and then blew them up in the desert. And they never did shoot any hostages. And, of course, and there was one British commentator filming in that time and said, well, you know, this is what was their downfall, is that they didn't learn to be ruthless enough. And he was actually giving them a hint, you know, you got to learn to be more ruthless the next time you pull one of these things off. And sure enough, they have decided that they could be more ruthless, and that was a violation of their religious principles originally, even though they had, you know, some grievances. But now they've become utterly ruthless. They've become much better trained by foreign powers. And so I don't believe this is inherently a clash of civilization. That Islam would have been content to stay in its sleepy background had it not been for not only huge Western influence in the countries through the oil money that has been brought, but also through the influence of these terrorist-promoting states, of which we sadly have to include the United States, who has given funding and training for various terrorist organizations around the world so that they could be used to create conflicts that would lead to a globalist solution. And that's my basic core analysis. These presidents that are fronting as conservatives and Christians in our Western nations are in fact globalists who want to undermine international or national sovereignty. And the way that they're going to do it is by creating a great backlash and hatred against the West and in the United States in particular, which will result in a widespread nuclear confrontation of a third world war. This is not a third world war with terrorism. This is a phony war. This is a war having been created by the major powers in order to foment the larger war, which is intended to take the United States down as an international power and replace it with an armed globalist United Nations. And I think that's where we're heading. The Russians and the Chinese fully are on board with this. Not because as many conservative conspirators think that it's because the Western Anglo-Saxon globalists control the Russians, but because they're independent predators, and our Western faction has been promoting communism and facilitating its revolutions around the world in order to break down the social order and create the atmosphere for conflict, which eventually will lead to a Russian-Chinese backlash against the West in the name of protecting the world against this bully of the world, the U.S. And because of that, the globalists will get their war, and they fully intend to win that war, believe it or not, even after provoking a preemptive strike against the United States, will take down our military forces. And they have many secret weapons that are being developed that I don't believe they ever intend to use to defend America, but to pull out and use those things to undermine Russia after this preemptive nuclear strike that I believe is coming in the next decade. Now, that's not a pretty scenario, I understand, but I think that when you look closely at the contradictions with how these very intelligent people have been appearing to be stupid, and that's what Jeff Nyquist and other anti-communist but defenders of this administration keep excusing the administration on, that it's just stupidity, is absolutely false. These contradictions between proclaiming anti-communism and defense of liberty and yet fomenting conflict and communism around the world can only really be explained consistently by a conspiratorial theory that envisions these globalists trying to undermine national sovereignty.
Well, I agree that we're doing everything we can to inflame the entire Arab world against us. And there's no logical reason for what we're doing unless there is an ulterior purpose.
You know, and this, it's the specifics that we have to get into. It's just like Thomas Ricks, the Pentagon correspondent for the Washington Post, came out and actually said on Howard Kurtz's show on reliable sources, of course, anything but reliable sources when you lose establishment sources, but they occasionally you get some truths out of them when he reflected that military analysts within our own government indicate that it appears that from their satellite photos that they can see Hezbollah launching sites that are clearly visible for days at a time. They send that information to Israel and they don't attack those. But they attack certain other sites that are well hidden, but they leave certain ones visible so that Israel can continue to be attacked. Now, this is dramatic evidence of a manipulated war, that the Israelis are not acting in the best interest of their own people. They want a certain amount of Hezbollah rockets, smaller ones especially, to continue to fly so that they can justify continuing to aggravate the Arab world and to induce what I believe is to be a wider conflict with Syria and Iran. I don't know of any other explanation. Now, you can say in a limited state, well, we want to be able to go in and attack Hezbollah on the ground and root them out, and so we have to maintain a certain amount of Hezbollah rockets flying in order to do that. Well, while that is a legitimate possibility, it appears from what the U.S. is supplying in intelligence to Israel, they are giving them numerous examples of satellite-derived eavesdropping on conversations that between Iran and Syria about resupplying Hezbollah and evidence, and they're giving that to Israel so as to be able to justify a further involvement in the war. Another story that came out last night was that from Israel is that they claim to have discovered that the central command post directing Hezbollah in this whole war is in Syria, right across the border from Lebanon, the town of Anzar. And this, to me, was an announcement that is a prelude to Israel probably moving into attack on the Syrian side in a widening of the war, and I think we'll probably see that this week. At some point, it looks as if they're trying to provoke Syria into response so that they can attack Syria, and then they can hopefully provoke a response from Iran, which will justify a U.S. combination, U.S. joining in with Israel in order to do an aerial bombardment of Iranian nuclear plants. And I think that's what they're heading for. It also appears that it may take several weeks to induce that. And that's why we see what I call a phony peace process. The U.N. is clearly putting out a pro-Israeli so-called disengagement resolution, which is nothing but provocation for the Arab nations.
Which, of course, they know is going to fail. There's just no way that even Lebanon, which is bearing the brunt of this destruction, has rejected the ceasefire that we're putting forward, because it occurs is so biased.
Well, what's interesting is that Lebanon initially, according to Condoleezza Rice, went ahead with this. They were in consultation with her, and she listed off the main points that the Lebanese prime minister gave his verbal approval of that. But I think what happened is that she went over and talked him into certain assurances. And when you look at the fine print, you realize, hey, this isn't what she was really assuring me of all. It was very obvious from those who were witnesses at the UN that the Israeli ambassador to the UN was head-to-head with John Bolton writing this resolution when he was sitting together with France. And Israel was there constantly to approve every line item on this, whereas the Lebanese were not allowed in on those discussions. So that shows you who was responsible for writing this. And as a matter of subterfuge, it appears that Israel, in putting forth its three major objections, which are rather token in nature, indicate that they have to do this for appearance sake to make it appear as if they're not in favor of a resolution that they helped draft. So things are not as they say. The world is full of illusions, as you've so eloquently pointed out, Dr. Stan, and Americans, especially conservatives, need to wake up that this is not the Israel of the biblical proportions that they have been championing. This is an Israel that is globalist in cahoots with the likes of Henry Kissinger and those that they consult with. Every time they come to talk to President Bush, they first go get their briefing from Kissinger Associates. That's been documented many times by my source, Barry Chamish from Israel.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen, covering tragic events unfolding now in the Near East and the Middle East.
West 11th Street in Greeley says, do you have a record of your child's fingerprints? Although fingerprinting at birth is common in many hospitals, it is not required by law in all states. Ask your local police department if they have a free fingerprinting program for children. That's courtesy of the certified public accounting firm of Hoover & Harris. CPAs playing a vital and integral role in our community's growth and development for over 40 years. They say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our children. Hoover & Harris CPAs on the air because they care. Wishing all a safe and happy Labor Day and back to school season.
Hi, this is Michael at KHNC Radio, and I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. You know, those little things around the house, the yard, even the car, they can pile up and we can all fall behind. That's where Andy's comes in. They can help you with remodeling, plumbing, decks, floor tile, auto and home upholstery, woodworking, drywall, and painting, and so much more. Andy's done a lot of work for us here at the radio station and at home, so we can highly recommend them. That's Andy's Painting and Handyman Services at 815 37th Avenue Court in Greeley. You can call them at 970-576-5333. That's 970-576-5333. Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. Tell them KHNC sent you. And thanks.
They fight for freedom and justice, battling the most notorious evil villains the world has ever known.
My baby! Save him!
From far-off galaxies to the depths of the Earth, they face unspeakable foes that no one else dare. Banded together under one name, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern are the Justice League to help launch the 45th anniversary celebration of Six Flags, the biggest and best year that Six Flags has ever had. Don't miss the Island Kingdom Water Park with more than 11 great wet and wild rides and attractions, the new Daily Bugs Bunny Parade Spectacular, the all-new Carnival de Fuego Fireworks Show, and the amazing Acrobats of China. With all these amazing shows and rides, a trip to Six Flags Elitch Gardens is the most out of this universe fun your family can get in one non-stop action-packed day. Plus, meet and thank all of your favorite members of the Justice League for ridding the world of evildoers. Get your discount tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Elitch Gardens. More than a theme park, it's an experience.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support, doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, can you tell our listeners how they can get copies of World Affairs Brief and of course, access your information?
Yes, the World Affairs Brief is my weekly analysis of the news that comes out every Friday via email, or for those that have the passwords, can download it from my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. There is a modest subscription for it, but it is still the cheapest of the weekly newsletters out there, and so I encourage people to take a look at it on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. There is much that is free on the website, of course. All of the daily news stories that are posted by my research staff, scroll along the screen, and you can look at a summary of all the news stories and then click on them for the actual stories themselves. Now, these are all from open sources. I don't publish any of the private sources directly because that is what I use to analyze many of the what comes out in the establishment press. But we do screen these stories to make sure that you get the most accurate of what's available in the establishment. The ones that are extreme disinformation, we don't put up, although I sometimes will analyze those, especially if they get widespread around the Internet. There is an awful lot of good information on the Internet and bad information. One of the most important stories or archived articles I have on the right is How to Analyze the News, which your readers will certainly want to click on, as I give a lot of examples about not only traditional disinformation by omission by the news media, but also how to see through what I call false conservative information that gets out there on the Internet. And there's many other things on the right-hand column, such as my synopsis on various government cover-ups, everything from the JFK assassination through 9/11. A lot of good information in the archives there that people are free to peruse. And if they like my analysis, we encourage them to subscribe to the weekly World Affairs Brief.
And how do they do that?
It's right on the website. Just click on subscribe, and it takes you through the process.
All right, very good. Well, is there anything else you want to bring up in the Near East, Middle East, or do you want to move on to something else?
I think we've covered that fairly strongly. I'd like to talk a little bit about Cuba at this time, if you desire.
You go right ahead.
You know, there's an awful lot of hope around the Internet that there could be change coming up. But what I've been analyzing in the past week indicates that something much, much more interesting is happening in Cuba. In the first place, neither Castro nor his brother Raul, who was given token authority to take over him, have been seen in public during this transition of health. And rumors are flying everywhere that either Castro's dead or that he's recovering, he's about to make his appearance. But even the initial story of Castro turning power over to Raul was not made with his typical public appearances. And of course, people say, well, he ran into his physical crisis and had to be hospitalized. But what's interesting is that some analysts from Cuba have indicated that the communist power, communist party, is much more deeply ingrained there and in power than has previously been assumed. Everyone thought this was a strongman regime of Fidel Castro, and to a certain extent it is. But you remember that any leader, no matter how strong they are, whether in the Soviet Union, whether it's Khrushchev or anyone else, could be knocked off and eliminated at any time by those that run interference for them. I mean, no man simply maintains power at the point of a barrel of a gun. He requires a great many people behind the scenes to enforce that power. And those people really have the power to even overthrow the leader if they so desire. And we find that even happens with American presidents like JFK. Any one of those essentially is disposable by the powers that be that put him into office. Well, so it is with even Castro. It appears from my sources that the Communist Party is really running things through the various stories and editorials that come out in the Grauman newspaper there, which is the only real mouthpiece of what's going on in the governmental sector of Cuba. But they indicate that this is very typical of the Communist Party. Even if Castro was already dead, they would use this type of a ruse to simply maintain power and make sure that they don't give people a definitive event upon which to suddenly take advantage of, whether it's to riot or turn to anarchy or to demand liberty, etc. They keep people in limbo for a period of time through managing the news. And the evidence behind this is the fact that nobody's made a personal appearance, even Raul Castro. Now, this is very much unlike any of the Castro brothers, not to take the forefront and to use their public persona to keep order and to reassure people. All we have are these issuing of statements. Even when Raul had power, the Grama newspaper only quoted a several years old speech of Castro, Raul Castro, where he was talking about the real power, the only legitimate power in the transition, the future transition of government from Castro, will be the Communist Party. and its Politburo. Not any single person. And this sounds very much like a self-serving, you know, revelation by the communist newspaper. But the mere fact that nobody's taking the lead here, and that there's much speculation being allowed to circulate, indicates to me that there is, in fact, a major transition going on, and that the Communist Party is manipulating the facts slowly, so that when it finally comes out that either Castro has passed on or that he recovers, they've at least set the pattern for not giving people a dramatic story to run with, that they will micromanage things. So I'm not at all optimistic, as President Bush is, about his statements about we encourage democratic achievement and for the people to, you know, that can all be manipulated by the Communist Party, as it has been numerous times before, in giving phony elections. As in Russia, they come up with phony democratic parties to give the appearance that there is a difference of political opinion, when in fact there is none. They are masters at controlling the Hegelian principle of both sides of the political spectrum.
And I think it's so sad. The people in Cuba, I'm sure many of them, hate communism, would like to have an opportunity to be free. And I think there's probably only a very small number of people who really have a vested interest in maintaining the communist system, but they're not going to give up power.
Well, certainly they have schooled a wide sector of, it's probably still a minority, maybe 30 to 40%, but it's a significant vocal minority of people who are utterly dependent upon the government subsidies and handouts to live from day to day. And they simply will not accept, without great violence instigated, of course, any free market cutbacks of those subsidies. But John Anderson, the Newsweek editor who went down and spent significant time in Cuba, said that he was at a rally where Castro was droning on and on. He noticed that there was a tremendous amount, and this is the first time he'd witnessed this, of disrespect for Castro. People were saying ho-hum, and there was a whole underlying murmur among the crowd as people were talking while he was speaking, which never would have been done 10 years previously.
We'll be back in just a moment here on the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Silver.
on our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, the last segment of this morning's program. Okay, Joel, is there anything else you want to talk about Cuba?
Well, not really other than to say that the Communist Party in Latin America is on the rise right now through various surrogates, through people feigning to be amenable to the free market, like President Lula da Silva, who's a full conspirator within the Communist movement there and in charge of the annual Sao Paulo Forum, which is the meeting of all the communist revolutionaries in Latin America that he hosts in Brazil. Now, he's claiming to be a moderate, of course, and yet he hosts this radical gathering of all of the revolutionaries around Latin America to plan strategy with Hugo Chavez on how to continue to roll forth in the Sovietization of Latin America. So I don't believe the Communist Party is anywhere near willing to relinquish power within Cuba, though they may play a card that is much more subtle than what Fidel Castro has played in the past 30 or 40 years. In other words, they may allow some semblance of reform, but clearly they're going to take a page from the phony fall of the Soviet Union and the way that China is playing it to gain a great deal of, if they're smart, they'll do that to gain a great deal of money from the West. Investments would pour into Cuba if they gave the semblance of some reform. So we may see that, but only from a deceptive point of view. I don't think there's any chance that we're going to have a true free market reform within Cuba. Now, moving on to what I think is a further manipulation of things in our own country here is the shutdown of the British Petroleum pipeline in Alaska, the Purdue oil fields. This has all the markings of manipulation, Dr. Stan. We've been in the business of the United States building pipelines at the forefront of that for over 70 years. And they're going to tell us that all of a sudden, in an unprecedented that they have to shut down a whole pipeline, including about 20% of U.S. oil stocks, in order to repair something that was a surprise to them. I just find this very, very hard to believe. I mean, why is it, for example, out of the hundreds of miles of pipeline, that there's only supposedly 16 miles out of the 20 miles in this transfer pipeline that have to be shut down? Now, this, of course, is you know, a secondary pipeline interconnect. And to me, in the first place, their plan is to shut this down and completely curtail production for a long period of time. And we're probably talking about 6 months to a year total if they're going to do what they say to replace that. And we're not even talking about the potential environmental delays and regulations of doing what they're doing. But obviously, if this kind of corrosion was a known problem, and you know, it would have been happening regularly before, and if it's happening regularly before, you would obviously have built in secondary transfer pipelines so that you don't get bottlenecking your entire production, especially when oil is in such demand. So there's a lot of questions that indicate that this is simply a manufactured crisis, an excuse to be able to continue to pump up prices by man-made created shortages. It's just like in Iraq. You have all of these supposed attacks on the Iraqi pipelines keeping production from reaching rates, pre-war rates, and yet when the United States signs an agreement to provide Turkey with so much oil from Iraq, if they do other things relative to backing the war in Israel, suddenly there are no more attacks on the Iraqi pipeline. None. How do we explain that the guerrillas go along with the U.S. and suddenly providing a steady supply of oil to Turkey? It gives more evidence that these things are manipulated, that even portions of the insurgency can be turned off and on by U.S. policy depending on what their underground contacts are.
I think it's simply a matter of supply and demand. When the supply is tight, why the prices go up, and would the oil companies, you know, resort to such things? Of course, but it's even more than that. I think they want to change our driving habits. I think they want to get the American people to restrict the use of energy and of oil. And I think that there is another agenda as well as the prices. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yes, absolutely. There is this massive urbanization agenda in the government, decrying the urban sprawl that occurs with going out into suburbia and wanting to force people back into tight little urban communities, where in essence they're controllable by government. I mean, if people realize, I pointed it out in my book, Strategic Relocation, that the greatest threat we face long-term, the triggers may be war, they may be famine, they may be earthquake, they may be flooding, but the greatest threat we face is increased urbanization, because you're totally dependent on government in these high-density urban environments. And you have no way to go, even if you try to flee, as we found out in Hurricane Katrina, you get out into a gridlock of traffic and you simply are locked into your car, run out of gas, and you're stranded on the freeway and have to walk somewhere. In other words, urbanization is the enemy of your ability to be flexible, to grow your own food, to provide your own water. Now, not everybody can live in the country, of course, but we do need to spread people out to where they can revert to growing their own food. And these types of gridlock communities, Americans are loath to accept. And I think that the raising of gas prices, even to $3, has not been enough to induce real conservation, has not been enough to induce people to change their lifestyle. And believe me, it looks like they're going for $6 a gallon fuel. And there's only so much they can do by manipulating the price of the futures. And that's the way that they've been upping these prices. Saudi Arabia has said for months now, as prices continue to go up on news that there's instability in the Middle East, that price is manipulated by the buyers, which have increased dramatically only in the past 2 or 3 years, meaning somebody went in there and decided to start to really beef up the number of buyers of futures contracts and oils, and those people probably are government manipulators who have a source of funding through government and the various major stock broker houses that are tied to government to manipulate the price of oil. But there's only so much that they can do to continue to bid prices up, because they're obviously having to pay those prices. They might even be tied to the oil companies who have the excess profits to turn back into pumping the price high.
Well, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much for being with us, Joel. Look forward to talking to you next week.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Well, Roger Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and I don't know if you have seen yet the video we put forward called The World Revolution, but here you'll see my interview with Mr. Ambassador Earl T. Smith back in 1980. He was the American ambassador who was there when the United States knowingly brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. Fascinating part of history, the only source of this interview that I know of. And, of course, we intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power. We have kept Fidel Castro in power. The Bay of Pigs invasion was designed to fail. The Cuban Missile Crisis was simply a vehicle by which we could justify guaranteeing we would never try to depose Fidel Castro. And Fidel Castro's daughter is a good friend of, David Rockefeller's daughter is a good friend of Fidel Castro. If you have not read David Rockefeller's memoirs, there's a lot of hyperbole there, but there are a few statements that make it worthwhile reading, and the fact that he admits to be part of a cabal that is conspiring with others to create a new international order. And he said, if that's the charge against me, I plead guilty. So we do carry David Rockefeller's memoirs, and it's now in softback, so it's more economical. We do have our video, World Revolution, and we simply point out, if Fidel Castro is really the enemy, then why did Bill Clinton and Janet Reno spend 125 man, heavily armed, a SWAT team to Miami to kidnap Elian Gonzalez to send her back to Cuba to build up Fidel Castro's prestige in Cuba and throughout the world? Why would we do that if Fidel Castro is the enemy? Or maybe nothing that we believe is true. Everything is being manipulated. Let me suggest the book Memoirs by David Rockefeller, my interview with Ambassador Smith, A World Revolution, which gives you the whole background of the World Revolution, and then, of course, you'll see my uncut interview. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. It would appear that the war in the Near East and the Middle East is going to continue and expand, and you have to understand this is all planned. Because as a result of this, there's going to be a total transformation of our society, and we're going to see progressive lowering of our living standards here as a direct result of the expansion of the war and the fact we're going to antagonize the whole world against the United States. Our leaders know exactly what they're doing. They just want the average individual to realize that all these wars are contrived. Every war of the last century was contrived, if you doubt it. You need to get my talk, Iraq, the Untold Story, which covers all of the wars, and you need the syllabus with it, Iraq, the Untold Story. And then, of course, you need to get the Earth Charter. It's available in our syllabus on the financial tsunami or on sustainable development. You can get the Earth Charter off the Internet. Understand, it is the Mein Kampf, written for modern times by three of the most powerful and wealthy men in the world, how they're going to transform your life and redistribute your income. That's point 10A of the Earth Charter. If you haven't read it, shame on you. We'll send you a copy free of charge. If you can't get it off the Internet or you are unable to get the various syllabuses where we've reproduced it, but our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free copy of the Earth Charter. But pull it off the Internet if you can, because it's expensive for us to reproduce it and send it out. And, of course, the telephone call. Everything we do costs money. We hope many of you want to help us here at Radio Liberty as we try to educate people about what's going on and the powerful spiritual forces intent on the destruction of what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the American Freedom Network, now on the World Wide Web at www.americanewsnet.com. American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.